Greetings. It's me, Tejo Bedick, here at the Razzball Podcast, NBA style, joined by the legend, Viz, the man. You know him from hockey. You know him from Razzball. He's killing it. What's up, Viz?
How you doing, man? It's good to be on the basketball side of things for the first time. Hopefully we can keep this going all the way through the new year. Some exciting stuff going on around basketball. Nice to talk to you in the Razzball office for the first time. How are things going with you?
Yes. With the pleasure is all mine. I'm getting excited. Everything's good. NBA, I'm pumped. I love this time of year. The playoffs, the draft. We just had the NFL draft. Baseball, anybody at Razzball knows I do a lot of the football stuff. And then I'm on baseball. I got some lovers and some haters on the baseball side. It gets a little intense over there. I'm more appreciated, you could say, on the football side. But I am leading the Razzball Expert Baseball League. I am in first place. So we will see what the naysayers have to say at that point. But we're not going to talk about baseball, man. Which I was intrigued and excited to meet you because you told me you're a pro or you're playing poker full-time. What does that mean? Like, yeah. No more job, no working, just full focus on poker and these podcasts.
Yeah, no 9-to-5. Basically, it's, playing poker a few times a week. For now, I'll be in Vegas in June for a couple weeks.
Ooh.
Playing
that's ballsy,
DFS,
bro.
Playing DFS a decent amount. And I guess right now I'm kind of in the middle of a 9-to-5 because I've been on jury duty for the last week, which has been kind of exciting, actually, but, it's not really worth the $40 a day for 5 hours of sitting there and listening, and we got to go back tomorrow and, deliberate and make our final decision, so I can't really say anything about it now, but...
Casino. That's precious casino practice, or do you play at home online?
No online in New York State, unfortunately, so basically, I'm in Buffalo. I'm about a 20-25 minute drive to Niagara Falls, where there's a few different casinos, so that's where I've generally spent most of my time. There, Pittsburgh's not far, Cleveland, Syracuse, they all,
So you're a Tyrod.
Places around here.
So you're a Tyrod Taylor Buffalo Bills fan, correct?
I am. Yeah, perfect. Bills, they haven't made the playoffs since I was 9 years old. I'm about to be 27, so you can tell how that's going. But, yeah, Sabres for hockey. I guess for the relevant portion of this, I'm a Jazz fan, which is kind of random, but, Malone and Stockton at the time I was a kid were peaking, so that's, and I've just stuck with them. So
I know
you're a Seattle guy, so yeah. I don't know. I assume you abandoned the Thunder because.
Right. Well, yeah, I'm just excited to have somebody to speak NBA with. Most of my friends in Seattle, they've all bailed on the sport entirely when they stole the Sonics from us. Some people hopped on Portland Trailblazers. They do have all of their games on the cable package, the local cable packages up there, so it's kind of like their adopted team, but, I never wasn't like that for me. I'm not that kind of guy. The Thunder, I kind of stayed tabs on because I used to write for fansided.com, and I was the Thunder, the official Thunder person or whatever, and I had to do like a post basically every day. So I did follow them pretty closely, and it's pretty frustrating when you get three Hall of Famers and Ibaka taken from you in front of your face.
Yeah, I can imagine.
But I hated Utah back in the day. I like Utah now. I hated the Malone Stockton days because that was one of the Sonics rivalries back when you had Kemp and Peyton. But Utah was so solid, man. But I do like them now. It was kind of unfortunate they just got swept. Is that hurting you?
I mean,
how are they going to recover?
Your big hope is that they re-sign Hayward, Hill, Ingles too, for that matter. And basically run it back, hoping you're healthier. I mean, Derek Favors has been a shell of himself most of the year. Rodney Hood, same way. Your hope is, in my mind, is that Exum takes the next step, which we saw flashes of a lot in Game 4. I think they probably would beat Houston. I think it's just a really bad matchup because they can guard the Harden pick and roll 2-on-2 with Gobert. Spurs always historically own them. But all things considered, they missed Gobert for 3 games. Hayward missed a game of the food poisoning. To beat the Clippers in the first round, it was a nice step for a team who hadn't made the playoffs in in 6 years, it really just does come down to, can they bring the guys back and hope to run it back? I mean, they won 51 games, and their starters only played 14 games together all season. So you get everyone healthy, this team could push 55, even 60 wins if things broke right. So, again, no matter what any team does, they're going to be a massive dog to Golden State. But at least there's been some significant progress.
Yeah, to me, that would be an interesting team. Yeah, if Favors was at full strength, because he's another kind of freak athlete where you could try to keep on the floor against the Golden State. Hayward.
Exactly. He can switch very well for a big man. And, you know, I think you're not going to out-small ball Golden State. So I think the best chance would have been if Favors was healthy, they played him next to Gobert and just try to get all the rebounds. Basically play like Cleveland did in the finals 2 years ago where they lost, but they made it a far more interesting series than it should have been.
Yeah, I mean, Tristan Thompson looked like a future Hall of Famer in that. I mean, in those playoffs, exactly. I mean, he was their second best player that year. He was killing it.
Even Mozgov was like, you know, doing fairly well. So, I mean, it's weird, you know, with basketball, you know, basically we know what's going to happen barring injury, but, you know, I mean, just out of your opinion, who do you think would have a better chance, at least to make the series interesting against Golden State, the Spurs or the Rockets?
Man, it has to be the Rockets, especially now with this Kawhi Leonard sprained ankle. The Rockets have at least like a shooter's punch type of deal. I've kind of given up on the Spurs here. I thought LaMarcus Aldridge was a Hall of Fame type player. He's really kind of like he was unstoppable at times for Portland and probably still can be. I'm not sure.
Yeah, he had flashes in it was a game four.
He's got a great jumper. He's one of the best shooting big men as far as mid range game. Is 20. I mean, he can hit everything. I don't understand.
Right. I wonder. I mean, he doesn't seem like he's willing, but if he could just go 2 feet further back, and now you're talking about a guy who can make some threes.
Yeah, it's surprising he hasn't picked that up by now, because all these big guys are learning to shoot threes, and he's just got a natural stroke. So yeah, you're exactly right. Exactly right. Like, what is he doing? Like, work on the three. That's what the game is all about right now.
For sure. Like, Marc Gasol and Brooke Lopez at the forefront, and you know they've played their way into debatable second round picks in fantasy just because you're gonna get, I don't know, at least in Lopez's case, almost 2 threes and 2 blocks a game, which is crazy. Gasol, you know, the same thing with the 2 threes, you know, and he's giving you the off-position assists, which are great. Yeah, I'm with you. Houston, you know, they just might shoot 60 threes in a game and make 25 of them and make it interesting at least. I mean, there's also the chance that Golden State's, I mean, in Cleveland for that matter, too, is 12-0 going into the finals. And, I mean, despite Cleveland playing very well right now, I still think Golden State is going to mop them up when they inevitably meet in the finals. I could be wrong, but, man, this Golden State seems like a cheat code.
It does. And that's not going to change. It doesn't seem like, barring injury, for the next 5 years if Durant stays there or whatever. I mean, it's just I'm disgusted by it, really. I can't believe Durant, to me, other than LeBron like a year or two ago, like, would have been the player I chose as the second best player overall in the NBA. Like, I mean, this guy, his MVP season was the best probably offensive, like, scoring season I think I've ever, like, personally watched, at least in my viewing day or whatever. He was just unstoppable. And then he had a couple injuries the next couple years that kind of screwed them over in the playoffs. And then he never quite regained that full force. But, I mean, he's still their best player.
This year until he got hurt again. I mean, he was shooting, like, 55% from the field. I mean, offensively, he was almost as good as anybody in the league again this year. I mean, they're the first team in, I don't know how long, you could say, that has two of the top five players in the league at the same time.
Insane.
It's probably four of the top 20.
Yeah, you can say Cleveland has these stars or whatever, but Kevin Love at this point in time is just nowhere near the level as some of these guys. Like, I mean, even like a Draymond Green. I mean, you take Draymond Green over Kevin Love and every team in the NBA would rather have Draymond. I mean, Kevin For Love sure. is just nowhere near. At least he's looked better this year. I will give him that. But to they have three stars. Kyrie has no D. I do love Kyrie though. But and LeBron to me is still number one. But I mean, when you have Kurt and you got Klay Thompson and Durant, you add Durant basically to the arguably the regular season. Most wins ever. You add the second best player in the NBA. I mean, it's just I can't believe he went there, man. I'm just disgusted. Yeah, it's anything yeah. other than a title for them is disappointing. But I do,
for, like you said, for basically every year going forward. I mean, if he's willing to take a couple million less than the pure max this year, it's going to let them keep Iguodala. And if that's the case, like they're going to keep getting guys like David West for basically the minimum that just.
And McGee, what a job they did with McGee. I can't handle this.
And even like Zaza, too. They made it passable enough. And, it obviously sucks for them that Steve Kerr has been, suffering through his back issues.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter.
Mike Brown is also willing to play their starters more minutes than Kerr was, and it's making them even more, dangerous. Now, granted, they beat Utah all four games by double figures. The last two were close in the fourth for parts of it at least. And, that might be a little misleading, but I mean, I don't see how anyone has any chance of beating them 4 out of 7 times. It would be shocking for anyone to win 2 games against them at this point.
The only way is Houston, like you said, shooter puncher's chance if they throw out a lineup with Lou Williams, Gordon, Harden, and these two, and are just launching. I mean, they have to have even so though, the Warriors cannot. Are not going to be stopped. So I mean, you're basically going to have to get lucky, get an injury.
Oh, for sure.
Cleveland. This is my favorite Cleveland roster of the last 3 seasons at full. I mean, I know they struggled at the end of the year or whatever, but I mean, to me, it's the most talented one they've had. So, I mean, with Korver, and it's just the lineup. When they have Korver, Fry, Love, and these guys all on the court at the same time, they're all just horrible on defense. So, like, the Warriors
that
are just going
to. They just would try to outscore everybody that much, but it's not that easy against Golden State because, they're starting the second quarters when these teams, look at the Raptors, they got their main guys on the bench, but you start the second quarter and Durant's going to be out there with Clay at least. 2 of the 4 are always going to be out there at minimum. So, I mean, like you said, it's these teams, I think we're going to see a lot more teams kind of decide to not necessarily like blow it up, but not push as much because it's just so unrealistic. You're hoping, I guess the most realistic thing is probably that Draymond loses his mind again. Hope like last year, he gets suspended. If he doesn't get suspended, they're going to win the title. What are the odds he does it again? I'd say pretty slim.
Yeah, who knows? I mean, I hate Draymond, so I hope he does it again. I mean, I can't stand – I used to hate the Utah Jazz against when they were going against my Michael Jordan Bulls and the Sonics back in the day. I used to hate the San Antonio Spurs my whole life. I just never was a fan of their whatever. I just hated them. And then but it just is nothing to my hatred of the Golden State Warriors. It's hard for me to even watch them play. Like last year in the finals, watching Cleveland come back from that 3-1, it made one of the greatest sporting event memories of my life. Watching that series just made my year. So even if they don't get it this year, it's whatever. But the year before was almost more impressive when they won a couple games with no Kyrie and no Kevin Love. That was insane. So I think Durant puts them over the top. I think if Golden State had their same team as they had last year, I would favor Cleveland right now. But with Durant, it's a whole nother story. But tonight we got Washington and Boston. This is a good series.
Yeah, this speaking of bad
who you
blood.
Got?
I mean,
yeah,
my
it's
God,
getting
these
violent.
Teams are going at it. I don't know. I kind of like Washington to win the series. I've just been impressed with what they're doing. They're tough for Boston only because they don't have anywhere to hide Isaiah. We have Wall Beal and even Otto Porter, which they started putting him on at times. it's just not going to really work. And
doesn't Wall look like a just total superstar right now? I mean,
he does. I mean, he's been incredible, and this is what you hope when you get take a guy first overall. We're going to talk about it a bit later, but I do see some comparisons between Markelle Fultz and Wall myself. But yeah, Wall, Beal, Porter, you got three top three picks, and they hit on all of them. Porter's going to get paid now. He's almost certainly going to get, you know, the max.
Damn, Beal's everybody, healthy. Anybody semi-good gets the max these days. That's it's crazy, true. But Porter is he's probably worthy of it just because he's such a solid two-way guy, even though it took him – would it take him a couple years to figure it out because they had somebody there anyway. But
right, he's still only 23 too, so you're going to get his prime. You're not going to get any of the downside years.
Yeah, it seems like Washington should win this series. I mean, they have –
Well, their starters are better in my mind.
Right, yeah, Boston.
But their bench is just so bad.
Yeah, I watch Boston play sometimes, and I'm like, how did this team win this many games? I mean, Avery Bradley's out at the end of the season. Their big guys are just seem like they're all bums to me. I guess Horford's played a little better as of late. But
yeah, I mean, going forward, you got to hope that they're getting – You know, Jaylen Brown takes another step.
Yep.
You know, depending on how this draft turns out, you know, they might end up with another small forward or power forward. They got a real interesting couple years,
yeah.
You know, especially this offseason. I mean, them in Utah with all their free agents, in Boston with all of their assets, do they want to try to move them for, you know, a Jimmy Butler, a Paul George, if it's feasible? Do they just say, let's keep loading up for 2 years down the line? At that point, LeBron's going to be 35, and we want to be the powerhouse after Cleveland. Real tough decisions for Danny Ainge.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you that and taking that in direction. See, Boston's loaded up. In my opinion, I would have traded probably anything it took to get a Butler or Paul George. They didn't want to do that, so that didn't happen. So Brown looks like, you know, he looks pretty good to me. He looks like he could develop into something. He's still really young, so something could be exciting there. But what do you do? Say you get either pick one or two, because there's a couple interesting small forwards after that. I mean, they could take Josh Jackson, or they could take the Duke kid or whatever. But, I mean,
right,
probably at one or two, you're taking Fultz, and unless people are getting scared off by this weird stuff from Mr. Ball, you're looking at those two guys, and it's like the Isaiah Thomas. Now I hear people, even Boston fans, questioning if a guy like Isaiah Thomas can lead a team to wherever they need to go, to a championship. And I'm like, huh? This guy was a top five MVP candidate. This guy just carried you to the number one seed in the league. We need to build around this guy. But at the same time, you got the number one overall pick, or you can draft another point guard when your best player is basically your point guard, and Avery Bradley is fairly young. I guess they could move on from him going forward. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, what do you do? What
yeah,
would
you
do?
Too. I mean, they have so many guys. I think Fultz is the clear number one to me. I just think he's got so much talent. I mean, the upside is through the roof. I just can't see any way he busts either. You know, for a fantasy purposes, in a dynasty, it doesn't matter to me where he ends up. If we're looking at next year only, the guy who goes to Boston clearly isn't going to get the minutes that players on other teams are going to. So, you know, I would maybe be down on whoever Boston's first pick is in this draft for next season solely because of, you know, time availability. Fultz is a guy who, you know, the one worry is his free throw percentage. He shot about 65% last year at Washington. It should get better. He's a disgusting athlete. I mean, he's 6'4", but he's got a 6'10 wingspan, so he's going to be great with steals. He's got potential to be over a half a block a game, which is crazy for a point guard. Basically, that's John Wall only, you know, maybe Eric Bledsoe. It's the upside is through the roof where, you know, Ball – I don't see much chance of him busting either, but I don't see that type of upside. I think Ball
What is his peak? What is his peak to you? Could he be like Jason Kidd with a better shot? I mean, what is his max?
I don't think he'll ever average that many assists. It depends where he goes too. Like, I feel like Philly would be perfect for him because Simmons can have the ball plenty still. Embiid will get his, and Lonzo doesn't have to dominate the ball the whole time. He's the type of guy who can play off the ball, and Fultz can too, for that matter. I don't see much debate over them being the top two guys.
Do you think his dad is dealing with all this weird?
What's that?
So Ball's dad and all this weird shit is going to turn some teams off. I mean, I know it's going to turn teams off, but will it stop them from drafting him at number two? I mean, or is his talent past that?
I would be kind of surprised. Obviously the guy's a loon, but I mean, Archie Manning, Jack Elway. I mean, there's been a bunch of guys who are, and I guess it's a little different now in the social media era. But I mean, if the Lakers pick second, there's no way they're gonna pass up taking the kid from UCLA. You know what I mean? If it's super close for somebody, maybe, but I don't really see that scenario happening.
Even after Magic Johnson sat courtside, well, Fox from Kentucky, the rising point guard, destroyed the guy in front of
that. That's
America?
The one concern I have with Lonzo is you get him up against elite talent defensively, and he struggled big time. What is going to happen in the NBA when he's going against somebody who's, you know, an elite defender? Is he just going to get off-athlete, basically, like De'Aaron Fox did? It's maybe possible, but I don't know. I just feel like there's probably too much there for there to be any real worry about that.
Yeah, I read some interesting articles on him about the way he shoots or whatever, and
it is very awkward
how people can get strip it. Yeah, people. It's easy. It's easier for people to kind of get a hand on it, which is why he has to go to that step back all the time or take those really deep ones. Because in the NBA, the guys that are quicker obviously can get their hand up and whack that ball away. But yeah, I mean, just the numbers are crazy. I don't have them in front of me, but just the way he elevated that team when he was on the floor, like the overall way they played when he's on the court was insane. It was quite impressive. So, like you said, I mean, there's too much there, you know?
I mean, yeah, worst case to me, he's probably, I don't want to say worst case, but somewhat, you know, a realistic worst case is probably like Ricky Rubio.
Yeah.
You know, if he struggles to shoot a little bit, but that playmaking is at that elite level. And,
right.
Yeah, I don't know.
But the shot is good. I mean, the shot is good. Like, he can hit from deep. I mean, it's just the awkward motion. People are kind of concerned about him being able to get it off, like playing one-on-one anyway. Like, if he's open or catching on the swing, he's good to go. It's just a real ugly, and it's like it'll be harder for him off the dribble, which is becoming kind of the Steph Curry way to play, where you're just taking these shots that you would have used to look at these players like they're insane taking these step back threes with dudes in their face. Now it's like the norm. I mean, that's what's so crazy. I mean, Steph Curry is like the greatest shooter I've ever seen,
for sure.
I mean, it's not even close. I mean, it is really nuts. But back to the Celtics, do they? I mean, we think they need small. They could use a small forward. I mean, Crowder's is solid. He can start or he could shift to the bench. But is Josh Jackson worth the pick if they get the number three pick, or do they slide Brown into the three hole?
I would guess they would take him or Tatum third, probably Jackson.
Or do you want to work out a trade? Do they need to make a trade for the vet? This is the dream scenario for Boston fans everywhere. They want to steal your Gordon Hayward. They want to steal your boy out from under you, take Gordon Hayward, and then draft two more young studs over the next 2 years to add to Brown and Thomas, and then are they a championship contender? Are they going to do you like that?
I mean, the problem is that the draft is before free agency starts. If it was the other way around, right, they end up taking, let's say they get Jackson, right, and then free agency was first. They know they're going to get Hayward. Then they trade the third pick, as part of a package to get Butler or George. And now you're looking at a team that can contend with anybody, right?
Woo! Yeah, that's what I would love to see. George and Butler, two guys who are kind of hybrid, like small forwards, but easily could play at the same time together. They're both so good all around. I would love to see one of those guys with Hayward, with Thomas, with
Now, considering that, you know, the draft happens first, it's probably not realistic, but you put the 2018 Nets pick on the table, maybe it still could be enough when you if you add one of the Bradley Crowder, you know, one of those guys, Smart even, to the package. I think that would definitely get George. I don't know if they're willing to give up that much for George when he's only 1 year away from free agency, and he's already talking about
LA. You know,
basically. But you know, maybe their hope would be we have Isaiah, we have Hayward in this case, you Horford. Maybe they're just so good enough you can convince him to stay, and maybe they do take that shot. So I don't think. I don't think their first-round pick this year from Brooklyn, whether they win the lottery or it ends up the fourth pick, which is worst case, not sure if that'll be on the table, but I definitely think next year's could be.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a great pick. I mean, the Nets could easily be the worst pick the worst team in the NBA next year, without question.
For sure.
They could throw some money at some mid-tier free agents and overpay some dudes if they want to, but it seems like Prokhorov is just trying to chill for a minute, recoup a little bit of the dollars he wasted. Would have been better off going to Las Vegas and just partying heavily like crazy, legendary style, rather than signing all these old heads and whatever that paid that insane luxury tax. But but yeah, I mean, I love what you're talking about with the Celtics there. I mean, all of a sudden that is just nasty. I mean, I believe Butler's under contract for a few more years, at least two, three, four more years. And then see what happens with, if you bring him, those two guys with Thomas and Horford and then Brown and then whether they're
exactly, you're looking at a team that can definitely challenge Cleveland.
Yeah, and they could overtake Cleveland in a year or two.
Exactly.
And yeah, I mean, you're still not like on the Warriors level, but I mean, you're getting pretty close. But you're, that's
you're
as close
getting,
as you can get.
Give yourself a chance at least. I mean,
I love Gordon Hayward. I've been saying all year that I thought Hayward was like a top 15 player in the NBA. Some guy kind of listed out some guys. I'm like, okay, he's for sure top 25.
I think you can make the argument. I mean, he's in that same tier with Butler and George.
Exactly.
I mean, now George has.
And he's probably a better passer than either of those guys.
It's definitely close. I mean, this year I think you can make a real good argument he was better than George. George does have the playoff history, and George was an animal in the playoffs. And so was Hayward in his own right, even against Golden State where they got swept. He was excellent, and again, you hope the allure of going down as, the third best player in the Jazz is third best player ever. The rest of the core being younger than him, Gobert is 3 or 4 years younger than him, convinces him to stay. Maybe he doesn't want to go to Boston and be the second fiddle to Isaiah. Maybe he wants the ball in his hands at the end of the game. I really don't know. I feel like the Jazz did what they could to keep him. If he decides he wants to leave, it's his choice. But I'd lean towards him staying. Maybe it's just the Jazz fan in me.
I heard something interesting. I think it was on one of the Ringer podcast or whatever the other day. They were talking about when Hayward was a free agent last time, and they, instead of signing him immediately to the max or whatever, they let him search around and sign a contract with somebody else, and they had to match it. So is he annoyed by that, do you think? I mean, the difference between Paul George and Hayward is Hayward seems like he's improving still. Like seems like he's still getting better and better.
Right.
George had the injury. He seems like he's a weird teammate, as we saw in these last playoffs with all these strange comments he's making. Hayward's just a winner. But I read some weird things about Hayward not like really loving or never going out of his way for endorsements or any kind of spotlight. But I mean, he's good looking. He's good. He's balling. Is this guy about to become a national star? Like, a lot of people probably don't even know about him, like casual
fans.
That's what
I mean. I feel like this was the first step, at least, maybe maybe it takes them getting to the conference finals next year, or, you know, maybe just getting back to the same spot for the second straight year. It depends if he does leave. To me, the only place I could see him going is Boston, because, yeah. I mean, he's the guy. Last summer, he comes off the year, he averages 20 points, 4 and 3, says, I need to get better. What should I do to the Jazz trainers? He was there at 7 a.m. every day in the summer trying to be an all-star. He got to that level, and it's not a fake all-star. When you're in the Western Conference, you're really an all-star. And Boston's the only other team who could, you know, give him the max and give them as much of a realistic chance of winning as Utah does. So,
how about this? How about this? If I'm the Clippers, I'd dump Blake Griffin or let him walk and try to bring. I mean, I don't think they can even do it money wise.
No, they still wouldn't have the cap space. They would have to lose Paul and Griffin at that point.
How did this even happen? Where is all the money at? This team is done. They're garbage.
Oh, yeah, I mean DeAndre. He's improved, to be fair, but he's, you know, you got three guys.
Yeah, DeAndre is worth the max, but I mean, but who else? I mean, Griffin, I just couldn't. I don't think I can do it at this point, dude. I don't know
what they're gonna do. I would strongly consider letting him leave too, but I feel like if he does leave, depending where he goes, he might blow up if he just has the ball in his hands more. He's a interesting case. Granted, the injury history is scary as hell, but yeah, you're paying. I think it's $12 million a year to Jamal Crawford.
Shout out Jamal Crawford, though. He's from Seattle. He's a legend out there. But, yeah, he is getting paid. He is old. But, yeah, I mean, right. If you're the Clippers, I mean, you become – if you let Griffin walk and aren't able to replace him, it's almost like you're irrelevant, like, going forward.
Yeah,
I mean,
for sure.
You're just
like,
nothing.
You're hoping to be a playoff team that loses in the first round, basically. You know, even with Paul – if he stays, which I'd be kind of surprised if he left, but Blake, I don't know. I feel like there's a lot of teams that could use Blake. I mean, I don't know if he would consider going to the Knicks, but I feel like him next to Porzingis could work really well. There's always a talk about Oklahoma because of, you know, he played college there. I don't know. They would have to do a lot of work to clear the cap space. I don't think it's actually possible. There's a few different places, and you know, if I'm the Celtics, do I really want to run it back? I don't know. The Clippers, not the Celtics. If I'm the Clippers, I don't really want to run it back because you don't have a chance. I mean, even if they beat Utah, so what? They would have got swept by Golden State anyway. Over the last 2 years, they played Golden State 10 times and lost every game, and most of them were blowouts. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird to me. A couple years ago, before the Clippers blew that series epically to the Houston Rockets, before they blew that, which was and they've had all these injuries ever since. Every year somebody is hurt. So, but I mean, before that's about as good of a big three as you can hope for. I mean, they've just never been able to fill the small forward role, and they've just been overpaying these bum bench players, and it's just not working out. You know,
I have a feeling that they're gonna try to push it one more time, and then Doc's just going to leave the team in absolutely horrible shape going forward. I mean, they already do trade their first-round pick basically every year or get someone who becomes irrelevant, doesn't play, like Reggie Bullock and Bryce Johnson, these guys who just become nothing. And
right. They ended up with Wilcox, who I mentioned earlier. Right. Maybe we were just chit-chatting before when I mentioned about former Husky. Yeah, another guy in the late first-round pick, never did anything there.
Right. Really. And you have to hit on one of these guys. Like, you don't have to hit a home run every time, but they could use a guy who could play 10 minutes. Like, they don't have these guys who could fill a role. They give Wesley Johnson the mid-level exception. He barely played against Utah. I think he played about 10-15 minutes.
Why isn't he good? What do your advanced analytics tell you about? I used to like Wesley. I was excited about Wesley Johnson when we came into the draft, and he's just been, you know, obviously major disappointment. I know he became somewhat serviceable at one point, but I mean, what is up with this dude? It seems like he's got a good stroke.
Was it with the Lakers he was all right with? I'm trying to remember.
I think so, like briefly. Yeah. Maybe it's just because he got minutes because they were so bad, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Like he's one of those guys that always just that leaves you wanting more, basically, that you feel it could be so much better and just it's not there.
Yeah, I've fully given up on him at this point. I used to believe in guys like Derek Williams at University of Arizona, my alma mater, former number two overall pick, and then guys like it reminds me of a guy like God. I was just thinking of the other guy too. Thomas Robinson, another real high pick, great college player. I'm just like, man, why can't these guys figure it out and become like decent role players? Like at worst, like Thomas Robinson was like a freak athlete. Like I don't, mm-hmm. You can't block some shots, get some boards. I mean, I don't understand.
For sure. I mean, the one other guy in this draft, I feel like from a fantasy purposes, he might end up being like JB and Slim used to call it Thragnoff, a guy who basically just scores a ton of threes and doesn't do much else. Malik Monk could shoot as good as anybody I've seen, you know, since Curry, probably. The guy's range is off the charts. If he goes to a team like, say, Phoenix, because they drop off, I don't think they would necessarily take him because of Booker already, but he goes to a team, maybe Orlando, especially the Kings, where they're going to let him shoot a ton of shots. Really, a guy who he might come in the league and average 20 points right off the bat. And eventually, I think he's got like CJ McCollum type upside, a guy who scores, you know, 20 to 25 points, but he does it very efficiently. Might not do much in the other categories for fantasy. You might be looking at, you know, 3 rebounds, 3 assists or something. Mm-hmm. But if you're shooting almost 50% on scoring 20 points, that's extremely valuable in real life and fantasy. And depending where he ends up, I could end up being a big fan of him, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I'm interested in him. I mean, there was a lot of like Lou Williams type comparisons. Like, is he like a bench scorer? Although he's a much better shooter at this point in his life than Lou Williams was. Lou Williams was a great, you know, scorer, always kind of has been. But Monk seems like probably a superior overall offensive player, especially at this point in the career. What I was hoping for, I'm hoping that Philly, sorry, Laker fans, but I'm hoping that Philly gets the Lakers pick too, and they can kind of get two. Can you imagine if they had like the first number one and four or something or whatever they need to have?
Yeah, that would be insane.
And they could get Fultz and Monk or Fultz and some other guard to go with the dude from last year. I mean, if they could just get their entire backcourt locked and hit on the picks, that would be legendary.
That's the thing too. You get one of those, you get those guys, and even if, say, they pick like second and fourth and you get Lonzo and one of them.
Oh.
Then you can just offer a George Hill, a Drew Holiday, one of these like second, maybe even Kyle Lowry, offer them the max or close to it to come in with these young guys.
Yeah, they might as well throw the max at one of these dudes. They have the money, and it's going to be a little while before these other dudes need it anyway. So it should work.
Right. I mean, the Lowry connection happens all the time. He's from Philly. He went to Villanova. Would he leave the Raptors? I don't know, but you offer him the max and it can't hurt. I mean, why not? He can play off the ball. He's used to it to DeRozan. So, you know, him playing next to Simmons, Embiid,
When do they announce the lottery? Is it today?
I think it's next week.
Okay, so the lottery is next. So they haven't announced the picks.
I'm checking in now when the date is. Tuesday, May 16th. So, okay. Yeah, a week from next Tuesday is the day. So that'll open things up. I mean, like, Toronto's another one of these teams where they got embarrassed in the second round. They might even be the second best team in the East. They just happen to play Cleveland. Do you want to run it back, or do you decide, you know, you let Lowry go, you trade DeRozan, and you try to go for 2 years from now? I feel like that has a decent chance of happening. It's not being talked about only because Masai Ujiri kind of wanted to do that to begin with. Had a trade with the Knicks for Lowry that fell through. And then they end up trading Rudy Gay away to Sacramento, and then they just kept winning and obviously just kept going with it. They can't afford to keep all these guys. I mean, they would be so far in the luxury tax if they re-signed Lowry, Ibaka, Patterson's a free agent. There's just no way it's possible. So they know they're behind Cleveland. They're going to get passed by Boston over the course of this offseason. Maybe they blow it up in Lowry. They let Lowry leave, and he does go to Philly for, whether it's, you know, $35 million a year, for 4 years. Yeah, he's 31. The last year or two of the deal might suck, but so what, man? You get that guy now, the Sixers could easily be a playoff team next year with a guy like him.
Oh, yeah.
Granted, you need the help from Simmons and Embiid, but, you know, Covington would be the perfect fifth guy there who doesn't need to do much. That team could cause problems right away. And
I loved Covington in fantasy this year when I got up in the DFS game for a little while. I had some. It's illegal in my state, so I was able to play it in a different state. But Covington, he finally got quite expensive on there. But I mean, he was nasty. Was that real? Like, what have you seen on him about Covington? Because to me, he was a real interesting player, real good all around, hitting threes. Like, what are your thoughts on him?
Especially
is he a star?
If you build a fantasy team that you're just punting on field goal percentage, his last 3 years, basically, you know, since he's been in Philly, he shot under 40%. So in DFS, it's not going to matter,
right?
But in a standard league, it's going to, because he shoots so many threes. But if you're punting field goal percentage, he becomes very attractive, and you consider he's not going to hurt you in free throws. He's going to make 2+ threes a game. He made 2.3 a game last year. Solid rebounder, and the steals are the big thing. 1.9 steals last year with one block. I mean, anytime you can get a steal and a block from a guy is great. Covington, you're looking at like 2-2-1. It's even if he's the only guy on your team that's bad at field goals, there's a ton of value in that. So he doesn't need big usage. That might come down a bit with all these other guys. So maybe he's only scoring, you know, 10 to 11 points a game, but that's still going to be on 2 threes. Basically, he's going to be a Kyle Korver type, but with more rebounds and a lot more steals kind of thing. I mean, Korver, granted, is shooting about, you know, three and a half threes a game in his prime, where,
right,
you know, Covington's, you know, the low twos. But, there's a lot to like there. And, God, I keep forgetting about Dario Saric, too, who was an animal in DFS.
Oh, God, I almost forgot about him. Yeah, like they could be loaded.
So
what a pick he turned out to be. What a by the guy they booted out of there, man. What a great pick he turned out to be.
Yeah, I mean, this team is stocked and, you know, in –
I mean, Embiid, it's on Embiid. I mean, this guy is a total superstar, but, I mean, the injuries are really kind of stacking here. I mean,
it's disgusting. No one's ever done what he did with that type of usage. I mean, playing 25 minutes a game and averaging 28, 2.5 blocks, like, with a 3 a game, it was absolutely incredible, and it's only going to get better, really.
He's an animal, man. I saw him over the summer or whatever, just, you know, doing drills and doing between the leg dunks and stuff like that. I mean, you can just look at that guy and be like, this guy's an NBA superstar. Like, this guy
is good of a Twitter follow as anybody, right, too. He's got, like, this awesome personality. I mean, in 2 years, you got to figure it's going to be them, the Bucks, and the Celtics, probably.
Ooh, the Bucks. You could talk. We could do a whole podcast just on the Bucks. There's too much going on.
We can kind of transition in a way, start with them, because, I mean, I'm all aboard the bandwagon if you get the first pick in a draft this year, taking Giannis first, because you're going to get an elite contribution in basically every category. I mean, this guy was top 20 in the league in points, rebounds, assists, steals, and blocks. He's shooting 52% from the field. Yeah, you're not getting many threes. You got 0.6 threes a game, but that's the easiest category for you to find, guys. There's a dozen J.J. Reddicks, Rob Covingtons of the world where you can get a ton of threes. And, you know, 77% free throws, it's slightly negative, but it's not going to hurt you enough for it to matter. I'm all aboard taking Giannis first.
I was going to ask you that. I was just thinking the other day for little subjects on here, and I was thinking, man, who is the guy – who are the kind of the guy? And I'm like, okay, the guys that another guy who absolutely slayed it for me every day was Karl Anthony Towns. I mean, that guy was becoming about as automatic as it gets. If he improves, can he put up those old school center numbers plus 3-pointers? Can he put up that old 30 and 12? Shaq Diesel, Hakeem Olajuwon, Can we go? Can he do that?
I don't see why not, really. I mean, I'm not sure where I would rank him, probably in the 6 to 8 range in drafts this year, but we gotta realize still he's still incredibly young. He's only been in the league 2 years. This is going to be year 3. Tibbs is going to give him big minutes too. He averaged, 25 and 12. The blocks did come down a bit, which sucks, down to 1.3 a game. But like you said, you're averaging 1.2 threes, and you're shooting 54% from the field while you do it. He's shooting 83% from the line, almost 3 assists a game. There's so much to like there, and, I feel like Giannis, Harden, Westbrook, Durant, Curry, those guys are probably ahead of him, depending on your league settings. But
are guys like is Anthony Davis behind those guys?
I think so. From him
for injuries or just for everything.
And there's your debate right there: is Towns or Davis? Would you rather have? I don't know. Like the certainty of Towns makes me somewhat lean that way. And what he did down the stretch this year was absolutely ridiculous. But at the same time, Davis is a monster. And if teams are focusing on Boogie, maybe he doesn't, have to go through the constant bang you do at center and can get eased up a bit. The blocks could end up going back up towards, he was near 3 a game his second and third year. Maybe that reaches that way because he can roam a bit more as an off-ball defender. I mean, he was at 28 and 12 this year. Same thing with, over 80% from the line, shooting over 50% with a massive shot volume. There's so much to like with both of these guys. I mean, I don't know. What do you think about
I'm pumped for next season, man. Giannis is a damn superstar, man. Yeah. This guy is, is he next up? Is he LeBron? I mean, is he there almost? Like in a year or two, is this guy going to be? I mean, nobody's LeBron, but I mean, is he like as close as we have right now?
Yeah, I mean, in 2 years, if you ask me who the best player in the league is, I'd probably say Kawhi.
Ooh!
But in 3 or 4 years, it might be enough to switch it to Giannis. Like, they're different types of guys, and I can't believe what Kawhi has done to become this good of a shooter and carry an offense like that. But
if Giannis gets the shot, if he starts stroking, is he better than Leonard just because he's got more length to him? The dude is a freak.
If he can shoot a 3, it's game over. How do you ever stop him? I'm going to bring up his stats now, but I think Giannis shot like 27% from 3 or something like that.
That's kind of like the one weakness right now.
Yeah, 27.2 from 3. Like,
what were the turnovers like? Was he pretty bad on those two?
2.9 a game, which isn't too bad. I mean, considering how much he had the ball,
right?
He got the assist.
That's what if we could somehow blackmail Chris Paul into going to Milwaukee, now we could get real sick over there.
Seriously, I mean, if he wants to win,
do you have naked pictures of his wife? Does anybody know his? I mean, can we get
get him on the phone?
Yeah,
him on the podcast. Yeah, I mean,
how can we make this happen? Right? I mean, I feel bad for them when Jabari Parker keeps getting hurt
because
now they have to now they probably got to pay him a max contract even though he's coming off the does he get that this year or would that be extension time?
It would be I think he's extension eligible now and then.
So what do you do? I mean, do you just give it to him? Do you extend him now and get it out of the
way? Unless he's
willing
to take a slight discount to lock it up,
then
I'd probably just wait and see if he's healthy because I don't see much downside to that. If he's healthy, you probably have to give him close to the max. It's fine. If he's willing to shave off, I don't know, $5 million a year off of it, maybe I would do it now just to have it locked in. I feel like there is more downside to signing him now than there is to waiting.
Right.
So I'd probably wait, but you can go either way. Middleton's a great player too. I mean, it sucks. Yeah. They had them both healthy for, I think it was the first games. Jabari got hurt when Middleton got back. So
And then
Brogdon, a second round pick. I mean,
That was a nice one.
Rowe looked like a player again. It'd be interesting to see. Everyone assumed he was gonna opt in to his player option for, it's around $20 million, because he was doing so poor, but he finished the season very well, so maybe he does want to get back on the market.
I like Snell for them too. He didn't.
Snell's a nice player. Yeah. They got him for MCW, who just became absolutely useless. Snell, so yeah, he's a nice defender. He did very well in the first round against DeRozan. I thought Kidd should have played him more, actually, and he doesn't need to do much on offense. He shoots.
Yeah, they don't really give him much opportunity to do a lot of
stuff. He stands in the corner, and he can shoot well enough from three, you know, that if teams leave him wide open, he's going to make them pay. I mean, he shot 40% from three this year on, you know, 4.4 shots a game. That's a pretty decent volume. You're talking over 300 threes there. So, yeah, there's plenty to like for them. You know, these are a lot of teams we saw that took a step forward. I'm trying to think of the teams this year who were most disappointing.
Detroit?
I would say Detroit probably comes to the top of that list. I've never been a big Drummond guy.
God, man.
And Reggie Jackson just fell off. I mean, they're in a weird spot, and now
they're in a real weird spot, man. And that Van Gundy looks like a moron, dude. I was just reading how he kind of had first opportunity maybe at that Warriors gig or whatever, but he chose he chose Detroit because they gave him more personnel decisions, right. And he was saying, "Oh yeah, if I could do it over again, I'd do the same thing. I like what we got in here." And I'm like, "Okay, dude."
Like, I don't mind his individual decisions, and I like most of the pieces. It just doesn't seem to work. You know, Stanley Johnson hasn't developed like.
No, I didn't like that pick. I didn't like that pick. I thought he ended up getting hurt this year anyway. But I was shocked. His name, the guy the Heat drafted 10th overall last year.
Oh, Justin Winslow?
Yeah, I don't know why they didn't take him. I'm like, you take – I didn't like that pick at all. I hated the pick.
The thing is, they're going to have to give KCP a lot of money, and he's very good. I mean, he defends point guards as well as basically anybody in the league, and he shoots –
Yeah, he turned into a nice pick. I was kind of
easy
to sell.
He's going to get probably 20 plus million, and now they're going to be out of cap space between him, Drummond, Jackson, Tobias Harris.
Yeah, I like all those guys. Before, it was just the rest of their bench was garbage. But who's the guy? They just drafted another dude high, a big man, and I'm like, that doesn't fit really, or does it?
Henry Ellison. Yeah, I didn't really get that pick, because they didn't do well this year. I think. Almost certainly going to end up with a 12th pick in the draft.
It's kind of like Poeltl on the Raptors. I'm like, what are you doing? What is it? Where does this guy fit? I mean, maybe Nick.
That's interesting because I didn't really care for him. I think he's fairly safely going to project to be, you know, a backup center at least.
Right.
Maybe, but if they do want to run back this version of their team somewhat, I think you do it by trading Valanciunas.
Oh, yeah, he's like done there. He doesn't seem to fit at all. I'm like, what happened to this guy?
I don't know. And then you let Ibaka play some center minutes and Poeltl play some center minutes. Maybe that's the one tweak that they make at Toronto. I mean, there's so many teams that we'll talk about it later, in a different podcast, but incredibly interesting off seasons that really are going to shape their team for, 5 years at least, what direction they want to go.
Yeah, it should be interesting when these teams have to figure out when they're like, okay, we got – how many years does LeBron have left? He's somehow 33 or whatever. It looks like he's not even slowing down yet, but it's going to – it has to happen in the next couple years.
Right?
It has to happen. And the Warriors only injury or somebody being unhappy and wanting out, which doesn't seem to be happening, or Durant leaving – is the only thing that can stop them. So, I mean, do you just kind of punt it for like – that's why the only thing I liked about what Ainge did there by not using those picks is just because, like, it probably wouldn't have made a difference this year anyway. They can still work something out, whatever.
And I think that got confirmed even though they won the first round. Right. They were down 2-0.
Yeah, they're not ready, man. I mean, it kind of horrible – timing on the Isaiah Thomas, the death of his sister. He's from my hometown. I mean, it's crazy to me. I mean, the timing of that's just awful, and then for him to have to play through this is crazy. But yeah, I mean, they just don't seem that. When I watch them, I'm like, where is the talent on this team? I like Smart and like some of these Bradley.
I like a lot of the pieces. I agree. It's just like they don't rebound well enough.
I mean, they're playing Olynyk and Amir Johnson play like major minutes.
That spot needs to get improved. It'll be interesting, like you said, how many teams are going to want to punt. But on the other hand, you know, if so many teams punt, you know, and this other team, I don't know, pick one. I'll just stick with Utah because that's my team. If they keep pushing, then you get in the conference finals and you're a turn ankle away from something happening. You know, so you have to make that choice.
Yep, that's what people aren't thinking, because anything could happen. Like Steph Curry could tear his ACL tomorrow. I mean, LeBron could get hurt for the first time ever.
It's a weird thing to say, but in a way, it would almost hurt more for them if Draymond got hurt, because everything they do defensively kind of
goes around him. I would celebrate.
So yeah,
they would get absolutely beasted on without him in there. I think.
Yeah, because now, I mean, what do? If you want to play small, you're playing Durant at center, and you're playing, I mean, Damn. That might work. But then who else do you play? Ian Clark, Sean Livingston? They're going to leave Sean Livingston wide open the whole time.
Yeah, I think if one of those guys gets hurt or isn't at full strength, I think Cleveland could take them out.
Yeah, if that happens, for sure, I'm with you. Again, you're not expecting an injury. It's certainly not impossible.
I mean, they have four Hall of Famers in their absolute prime. You know what I'm saying?
Right, and he's not quite there, but he's definitely not his prime. And Iguodala is not that far.
I was just talking about that.
He's in the Hall of Very Good. David West would be in, like, the Hall of Very Good, you know.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Iguodala at one point, or maybe still his current contract, was a max player. And star player for years, yeah. And he's just a great all-around player. So, I mean, yeah, man. And then to keep Livingston, I mean, the only people they've lost, they made a big deal about them losing, you know, Spates was decent there. Oh, and some of these other bums like Barbosa and these guys who somehow – they just look okay because they're playing there. I mean, I get
exactly.
it. It's like, come on, man.
Bogut, whatever. I mean,
they're like, oh, they're not as tough anymore, this and that. I'm like, dude, come on, man. I mean, none of these guys really did that. I mean, they used to make a big deal about the way they used to talk about Azili used to infuriate me. Like, Mark Jackson would be on there being like, he's a great starting center if he's healthy. And I'm like, what are you? This guy looks like a total stiff.
Offensively, he was basically hopeless, but for a team like that, you know, if they had his defense, it would help a lot. He did matter that first time around against Cleveland. It's a shame for him, at least, that, you know, I thought he was going to be a good, you know, defensive player, a guy who's not really relevant in fantasy. But
who signed him again? I'm blanking.
Portland, but he got hurt
and he missed the entire season, right?
Right. Yeah. It's a shame, you know, for a guy whose career is. I don't want to say done, but it's getting closer now with a couple years running now of just leg and
What was the contract? Injuries. Was it a one-year deal?
It was a one-year with a lot of incentives, I guess. So I assume, you know, someone else is going to give him a deal this offseason for close to the minimum with incentives, hope that, you know, he could somehow stay healthy. It seems obviously more and more unlikely at this point.
Okay. Yeah. Well. Before we talk a little bit of fantasy and get out of here before people kill us after one show. But I wanted to ask you about speaking of Portland. I hated basically all the money they spent in free agency last off season with Myers, Leonard, Crabb.
I thought the Harkless deal was good, and that was basically the only one.
Right, I mean that's fine, but like, yeah, the Myers deal looks terrible because I mean it's just like everybody gets paid $10 million or $11 million now or whatever. But I mean he does absolutely nothing. And the Crab,
at least Crab is shooting. He shot 44% from three. He doesn't do anything else. But at least he could stand in the corner, and if he gets a pass, he's gonna make
it. Right? I love the guy as a shooter. But I mean, what did they give him? 70, and then they get, And they gave, what's his name, the
Turner.
The Turner, who's never worked on his jump shot since college, who can't still can't shoot 3-pointers.
I love it. He's like living in the past. He's like the future.
I mean, he refuses. It's like he refuses to work on. He's like Dwayne Wade. He just refuses to work on it. I mean, Wade, I think, shot 3s okay. Now I'm talking about Wade back in the day. It used to frustrate me how he seemed like he never worked on his 3-point shot. But, I mean, yeah, I mean, Portland just – luckily for Portland, they sort of made up for some of this by stealing
– Yeah. So, that was an excellent trade. And, you know, they have 3 first-round picks this year now because they got a first in that trade, and they got a first from Cleveland from a while ago that they ended up trading – next year's first for this year's first, so they could trade the 2019 first to Atlanta for Korver. It was just a huge mess. But you're getting 3 first-round picks, and while none of them are very high, it gives you them a chance to hopefully shoot the moon and hit on somebody. I mean, the 15th pick will be the highest one they have, but you know, you get someone there that could contribute, and there's your hope around Lillard, McCollum, and Nurkic. I mean, to me, I think it could work with Lillard and McCollum. I know they're not great defensive players by any stretch, but, I mean, I don't think they have to trade one of them away, do you?
No, absolutely. Yeah, I found that argument kind of ridiculous. It's just kind of like, huh? Like, maybe it's, you know, the surrounding them with
players. It's very tough for it to work. I mean, you basically need 3 really good defenders otherwise, but Nurkic looks like he could be that guy. Harkless is solid. Like, it's not impossible. Again, they have to really hit a home run on one of these 3
picks. But what would you trade him for to improve? Like a more traditional?
I mean, I don't know how it would even work. And I've never really heard a trade that makes a ton of sense. I mean,
Shooting guard overall is weak as hell in the NBA right now. If you count Harden moving to point guard, maybe officially, like somebody tweeted the other day that Booker was the best shooting guard in the NBA, and I was like,
I think he's getting a bit overhyped.
And I was like,
it's so hard to judge a guy on a team that's right. Terrible.
And I just couldn't really think of any great shooting guards. I mean, I was like Bradley Beal. I was like, Harden's technically not a shooting guard, I guess, at this point.
Trying to think about who
shooting guard. Just give me your best fantasy 2 guard, like official 2 guards in the league. Like it's going the route where they can play, where they like to play 2 pretty versatile guards back there.
Right, because I guess I mean if you don't consider Harden or Giannis,
right?
You know, maybe Butler plays there at times. Otherwise, you're already digging deeper into like Beal. DeRozan.
Wiggins, oh, DeRozan. Yeah, I didn't even think of DeRozan, who I've never been a huge fan of.
No, me either. I mean, I'm trying to think of a trade that could maybe – I mean, what about if the Jazz decided, let's get McCollum, and they gave up Favors, Hood, and a first or something? I don't know if they would even want to do that in Portland shoes. Like, it doesn't make a ton of sense to find a trade that works – getting rid of either guy. I just think
maybe if it was Favors like a couple years ago, I'd be intrigued, right, but now at this point I'd be like,
you're not gonna get anything worth, you know, if you get like the 10th pick in the draft and stuff, like you're praying that guy ends up being McCollum, so it doesn't make sense to me. You work with what you got.
Who doesn't watch McCollum or because they play on the West Coast or whatever, and they saw that Game 1 of against Golden State where he was just up. I mean, obviously the dude is nasty.
He's incredibly efficient too. I mean, he shot 47% from the field this year while shooting, you know, a ton of threes. Yeah, I mean, they're in a tough spot because they're not really good enough to contend now. You know, these guys are a bit older because, you know, Lillard and McCollum did play 4 years in college, so they're already in their, you know, mid to upper 20s. So you're behind Minnesota in the at least Minnesota, Utah, Denver too, in the totem pole for 3-4 years down the line, and at that point Golden State's still probably contending. But you know, what are you gonna do? I don't think it's worth it for them to, you know, like trade, you know, 2 first round picks or something to dump Evan Turner's contract. I'd probably just suck it up, keep him, and hope to God that you hit on one of these draft picks this year and go from there, basically. again, that is another team with a crazy offseason, because now it's like it looked horrible, you know, them in danger of missing the playoffs, but now they got Nurkic, who, you know, who knows how long he's going to care either. That was the big thing in Denver, right, where he just kind of checked out.
Yeah, that's what surprised me, because I was saying at the time of the trade, I was like, damn, they had to throw in a first round pick to get the honor to pay Plumlee here. So at some point, I was right, like, what the hell is going on here?
I really like what Denver's been doing too. And yeah, that one by itself, another team with a very interesting offseason. Gallinari.
I was just about to ask you what this team also interests me. I love all those versatile guys like Jamal Murray and Wilson Chandler, and yeah, Will Barton Murray was killing it this year.
Right, I'm a big Murray fan going forward in fantasy too. You know, especially if he gets more and more point guard duties, so the assists are up. He's going to be a 20-point a game guy in this league eventually. I don't have much doubt about that.
I mean, yeah, Will Barton and Wilson Chandler were fantasy monsters for a minute there.
Yeah, I don't know what their plan's going to be. I mean, Hernan Gomez looked good when he played, too. They have a ton of guys. I think Gallo's going to leave, but I don't know. Maybe they want to bring him back. I feel like, to me, I think the perfect spot for Gallo would be Minnesota. You play him as a four next to Towns, and then you have Wiggins, Levine, and Rubio probably. Slide a difference. So Levine is the
Minnesota is the team we didn't talk about. Minnesota is the team that I projected them to make the playoffs this last year. They obviously failed miserably, but I mean there are some big time talents on that team. You had a guy Gallinari. I love that. I haven't heard that. Thank you for that info.
I think it would make a lot of sense. You can bring Levine off the bench if you want. Start Gallo at the three, and Wiggins at the two with Jang if they want to start bigger. Then Gallo can sub in there, or you can play him at the four, which I think would be their closing lineup. You play all those guys together.
Is Wiggins a superstar? Can he, in your opinion, take the step to become like on the level of the greats now?
He has the upside defensively. It's the same with Towns. I mean, Towns is clearly
I already got projected. He's en route. It's happening.
But yeah, if Tibbs can get both of those guys, I don't want to say to care more on defense, but just take one more step up, then you're looking at, I mean, Towns could be the best big man in the league without question. Wiggins, that's what it's going to take, is his defensive improvement to get on the level of, say, you know, his comp was Paul George a lot, you know, before that draft. I don't think that's impossible, but, you know, he averaged 26 points a game this year and was fairly efficient doing it. I mean, not incredibly, but there was a lot of progress there. So I don't think he's ever going to become that, like, elite defender that, you know, people had hoped. But, again, his one skill is a skill that's very hard to find. It's just the ability to score at a efficient level, basically. I mean, he could play second fiddle to Towns, which is great. I mean, there's still a lot to like there, and yeah, where they decide to spend that money, because Wiggins is going to have to get paid after next year. This is probably going to be the last summer they have with a ton of cap space to get guys. What Tibbs decides to do, you know, preferably, in my mind, I think a guy like Gallo who can move around in different positions would be the perfect fit.
That would be incredible. And then what do they?
One other, I mean, to add to them too, like, they're coming to the lottery at the sixth spot.
Oh, you know, so they get another lottery pick to this team, man. The guy who kind of disappointed is the guy who disappointed under Tibbs is the scorer, the other young guy who is a small forward. I'm blanking on the name. Young guy.
Zach LaVine.
No, not LaVine. The guy who's mostly just all he does is score.
Shabazz?
Yeah, his minutes seem cut down this year. Yeah, Shabazz. Right. Been pretty disappointed there, but I thought he was pretty talented. That's what I wanted to ask you. LaVine.
He was the number one high school recruit in his class.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't do too much in college. And you're right, he doesn't do anything but score decently. I think he's restricted, so I assume they'll just keep him. But we'll see. But yeah, I don't know. Depending, you know, if they move up in the lottery and.
Oh wow! You know, yeah, that would be huge.
Give up on Chris Dunn, you just took him fifth overall.
I don't know what they're doing there. I assumed Rubio was a goner, but Rubio was so good this year. And then I wanted to ask you: is Levine? Does this guy? I mean, this guy obviously has superstar talent, but then again, so do guys like J.R. Smith and Josh Smith. But I mean, does he become a star, or does he become one of those kind of streaky, like very talented guys who never? Who has a solid career but never quite harnesses the full capabilities?
I mean, it's hard to say. I mean, given that, you know, he blew out his knee this year, I guess that would be more likely. He was playing extremely well. I don't think, you know, you kind of basically have to keep him at this point. I thought it was worth considering moving him or Wiggins if you can get something crazy, because I'm not sure how well – it's going to work with them all next to each other.
Yeah, you know, I think some team, I think it's a young team or somebody like a Dallas or somebody willing to take a risk would be willing to throw close to max money at a Levine, no question.
Right, I agree. So I don't know, you know, what they're going to do. I feel like, you know, if they do stay where they are in the lottery or move up a bit, maybe they get lucky and they can play Jackson or get Jackson or Tatum.
Dude.
Now you're looking at a team where you can switch – 2 through 5, basically, because Towns is mobile enough if he can, you know, just get the consistency up. He's mobile enough to switch on to everyone, and now you look at a team that could be what Tibbs hopes defensively, and they're going to score. I mean, with Towns shooting that well, even Wiggins well enough, Levine could shoot. You know, and like you said, Rubio played great down the stretch. Diamond guys, and his shot got better, too.
Yep, he was hitting, man. I mean, don't say it's impossible. I'll never forget the NBA draft. I've been watching this a very long time. I'll never forget Orlando, my favorite team of all time, the Orlando Magic, when they got Shaquille O'Neal the year before, finished like a – lost the tiebreaker to get in the playoffs, had the worst chance to get the lottery pick, then got the number one pick the next year. I was like, this is the greatest moment of my life.
Like,
I thought I was going to get
– It was like one lottery ball out of like 67.
I thought I was going to get Weber and Shaq, my dream come true, but it probably wouldn't have worked. So they made the right move. But
it's not impossible. Someone from deep can jump up. I mean, when the Bulls got Rose, they were somewhere.
I mean, yeah, they were close to the same thing. I mean, I don't like that, and I don't really think that's fair, but, you know.
No, I mean, it just happened in hockey, too. the teams who moved up in the lottery, so the team that finished the fifth best odds got the first pick, 13th moved all the way up to second, and then 8th moved up to third.
Jesus.
So all of these teams from 1 through 4 all had to fall 3 spots, which was just brutal. We've seen crazier things happen in the NBA.
I get the argument of it not like if it making teams not purposely tank so they don't guarantee get whatever pick or whatever,
right.
But it's like, but then like the worst teams aren't getting the best players, so I mean, you can't, teams will stop tanking if you have you get a good player.
This year I don't think people would feel bad because it's Boston.
They're like, nah, fuck that. Yeah,
right.
This is not cool.
It's gonna be a crazy lottery. You might have to do a podcast next week. You know, we're not going to be going regularly until maybe like August or so, but, you know, do one next week or the week after at the latest, once the lottery comes out, we can just talk about, you know, how that turned out and, you know, who ended up winning the Spurs series and the Celtics series and an early look at how things are going in the conference finals.
Yeah, that'll be a most definite. I love recapping some of this draft stuff for sure. It's gonna be, this is a very interesting draft. I mean, before we go, a guy in the draft, like, is Fox, De'Aaron Fox for Kentucky, like, what about if he goes to like the Knicks or something? I mean, does this guy have superstar ability, or is he not quite on that level?
I think he does. It's not as likely as as Fultz or Ball, even for that matter.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he is a big, he's, you know, 6'4 point guard, which is the kind of size that you're hoping for now. And again, you kind of just look at what he did against Ball, and he absolutely dominated him in that game. Offensively, I don't think there's going to be any problems. He's as fast as basically anybody. I mean, he's got that, you know, that John Wall burst where, you know, all of a sudden he's at from the 3-point line and he's just laying the ball in. He just kind of blows by people. You know, he drives constantly. So at times, you know, you got to hone him in a bit. He's going to get a bit reckless at times, and he struggles going to his right from, I mean, I'm talking a limited sample from what I've seen, but he is a lefty and he did struggle a bit going to his right hand, but that's something all players get better with in time, especially once you're in the NBA, you can work on it all the time. The one other guy that I'm not sure how well he'll do in fantasy, but there is a lot of upside there that's in this, you know, definite lottery group, but not as high as Jonathan Isaac.
Yes, I was just about to ask you. Let's go.
He played at Florida State, and he's probably a power forward. I mean, he's 6'11", but he's got like that 7'2 wingspan. If he fills out, I mean, you can't call anyone like Draymond potential, because Draymond really is like the only guy who's like that, but he does have that elite defensive potential, and he scored fairly well. He's a great rebounder for, you know, he's only 205 pounds, I think they list him at now. He's clearly got to fill out. I'm not sure he will contribute much right away next year, but in a dynasty league, a couple years down the line, if he goes to the right team, I think he would be a great fit. In Dallas, I guess, would be the one. If Dallas drafts a point guard, that guy might be good right away next year, because we saw like Yogi Ferrell come in this year, Seth Curry, a lot of these guys did well right away. If one of these like second tier point guards, like Dennis Smith from NC State, or the French kid, I think it's Kinda, I don't know exactly how to pronounce his last name, but if one of those guys comes in right away to Dallas, I could see them, you know, being fantasy relevant even in like 12 man leagues right away, just because basically any starting point guard is relevant in fantasy, and those guys who are in Dallas right now aren't going to block him.
Right. Yeah, he is quite interesting to me. A lot of interesting guys. And then, yeah, you got the Monks. We talked about Dennis Smith, all the guys. Zach Collins from my hood up in Gonzaga.
Yeah.
He's kind of rising up. Yeah, he's real solid, more traditional big man. And then Markkanen, however you say it, from U of A.
Yeah, Markkanen.
He can stroke it a little bit, kind of the new age.
I really like the OG from Indiana, OG Anunoby, but he got hurt at the end of last season, so he's more of like a late lottery type probably, but there's a ton of upside with him too. I mean, this draft class.
Where do you take Giles?
Oh, man,
I mean, a year ago, this guy was the number one player in high school.
I think he still has to go in the first round for that upside, despite all the concerns now, excuse me. There's just so much upside there. He's like the perfect guy for like the Nets to take, because they have the 27th pick. It's like the perfect team to just shoot for the moon, or really any of these teams. Again, like we talked about, you know, Portland shoot the moon with their 3 first round picks.
You might have to reach on him. Some team might take him.
Right. Utah has 2 first round picks. They have Golden State's first, so you know, maybe they take the chance. I definitely think
later
you go. I mean, the upside is just through the roof there. Like I was saying, this draft has the upside to be as good as any draft since 2003, really. I mean, there's so many guys with, you know, such high floors that they're like guaranteed starters, while also having, you know, superstar potential.
Right.
Fultz for sure, Ball, Jackson. I'm not sure. Fox has some superstar potential. Monk is going to play in it for a long time because every team can use a scorer like him.
Right.
This draft is absolutely stacked. And, you know, if you are in a dynasty league, I would start doing some homework, honestly, and see who you like, because a lot of people have personal preference, obviously, like any draft, but these guys are going to make an impact right away and for years to come.
Right. Yeah. I love it, but we're nearing 2 hours, so I think the listeners want to break a segment this up. We could go all day, I'm sure. But, yeah, maybe we can stop here and then kind of pick back up later in the week or next week and see what else has gone on.
We can definitely do one next week. I mean, we'll if you follow us on Twitter, I'll put it in like the description on iTunes, but I'm just at RazballViz. And what's your Twitter handle? T-O the Tyrant?
Yeah, that's what it is. I might just change it back to normal. We'll just leave it for that right now.
Okay.
We'll stick with the Tyrant.
Well, one of us or both of us will tweet out, you know, we're going to podcast for whatever day. I'll probably, well, you'll know when you hear this. This will definitely go up, you know, this week, Tayo. It'll be either Thursday or Friday. We'll get this up. So, you know, for everyone, enjoy the basketball while you can, and, you know, subscribe to the podcast. And
please.
Also, before I, you know, end things, I always end up doing this with hockey, too. We get starting to say the goodbyes, and it ends up lasting a few minutes. But, you know, in the off season, especially at this point where we're still over a month away from free agency and the draft, if there's anything you want us to talk about, please just let us know either on Twitter, or this will go up as a post on the Razzball website. Write in the comment section, you know, anything you want us to talk about, and we'll be sure to do that next week.
Please, and save the hate mail for my baseball post in that comment section. Wait before you judge me on basketball, before you start leaving me hate mail, because Viz doesn't need that on his conscience. So let's just leave that on my baseball post. Leave the hate there.
Yeah, those no, I know. I got that too. Like, I was writing just like on Sundays, just like this week in Razzball post, like recapping everything that got posted on the baseball side of things. And I did it last year. I was getting a lot of comments and stuff. And then like the first week this year, the guy wrote like, I don't see any purpose for this post. What the hell? I'm like, well, don't read it then. Like, what do you want from me?
I know, man. I'm like, hey, man, some people like it. If you don't, I'm like, feel free to move along, dude.
I mean, hockey, I don't really get as much aggressiveness from people. It was just kind of funny to me. But hey, yeah. I'm all about for constructive criticism. So
yeah, me too. I'm like, please bring it. But don't, I mean, don't just be hateful just to be hateful. I need the guys to get creative and actually bring something. So, but again, baseball only. And then, yeah, so looking forward to this, and good luck with your poker playing this week. You can go
Thanks,
rounder
buddy.
Style and bring home some money, man.
Hopefully. And to you as well, if you're playing DFS, or all the listeners too, if you're playing DFS for the playoffs, or you know, anything for that matter, you know, best of luck. And, you know, if you're a fantasy baseball player, basically anything, best wishes.
We wish you all luck in everything you do.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's sign out of here, and we'll be back next week.
Yeah. Take care, guys.
All right, guys.